Hey, it's Paulette again, and I'm honored to bring you another episode here on the Thriving in Chaos Project, now in its fourth season. I bring you resilient survivors, key resources, and experts in their fields to lighten the load and shine a light on the path forward from confusion to conclusion through all things divorce and transformation. So let's get started. I am hosting a retreat in Belize. Some of you may know, but I used to live there. And Belize is a melting pot of culture that carries over into the food, the music, and the fun. It is the best of both vibes, from jungles to ground you and beaches to heal and soothe. I lived there for many years and go back and forth between there and Atlanta because I can't get enough. My co-host, Tierra, visited me and didn't want to leave either. No one does. This is paradise, folks. My co-host Tierra and I chatted about the perfect all-inclusive location for you ladies that are going through a pivot in your life and need to reset, renew, and rebuild, and we nailed it. We kick off with a three-day adventure in the luxurious eco-resort Copal Tree in the southern Belize jungle, followed by three luxurious days on Thatch Cay Island, a private island over water, oceanfront oasis in the turquoise Caribbean along the Belize Barrier Reef. Whether you're going through or just coming out of a divorce, especially with a narcissist, a career change, or you just want to get back to the parts of you that you haven't seen in a while, we are talking to you. Make note, May 4th to the 10th, 2024, and start packing. Space is very limited on the private island and in the jungle. Be sure to act now. We have a passion for leading truly transformational healing events, from heart-opening, accessible guided meditations to connection-based life-changing tools and practices. We curate each moment with care and compassion to ensure every lady is taken care of from the initial registration to the final namaste. It's better in Belize. Welcome back, everyone, to the Thriving in Chaos Project. I'm your host, Paulette Rigo. After 5 years of this podcast, I am starting to go full circle and going back to people I met many, many years ago. And today is no exception. I welcome my beloved friend, Sandra Estock. We met at the Cushy Institute in Beckett, Massachusetts, of all places. There's about a population of 200 people in this little town. But at the top of a hill is a very famous, or was a very famous, healing wellness cooking school that I attended when I was studying to become a macrobiotic counselor and cook. I don't use the word chef, just to cook, everyone. So we met at a conference when we were both there studying about 10 years ago, which is mind-blowing. I do not know where the time went, Sandra, but it was an absolute pleasure. I took her to Jacob's Pillow. She asked me where I studied dance as a teenager, where I performed, and we went to the ballet together and had dinner and just got to hang out for, you know, quite some time. It was a really magical experience out there. To any of my friends and listeners who are from my wellness background, I know a lot of you think I'm just a divorce expert, but I also am a wellness expert. So if you don't know that, I am a level one, there's three levels, macrobiotic counselor and cook. I spent an entire summer in the basement of a cooking school learning how to properly cut and slice vegetables. Yes, it is an art. and changed my life. But the people I met there were just some of the most intelligent, committed professionals in all walks of life. And Sandra is no exception to that. So I'm so glad you're here. I can't believe I haven't seen you in 10 years. We've stayed in touch. My life has changed tremendously over the last decade, as has yours. But I want to just briefly introduce you so that people know why I would want you to be on my show. So listen up, everyone. She is the founder of Ways to Protect, the author of the international best-selling and award-winning Happily Ever Cyber, and the Cyber Literacy Series for Children. She's a keynote speaker and a corporate trainer, with over 20 years of experience in cybersecurity. This is a big deal, everyone. Big problem. This is not going away. IT and data privacy, which can be a big problem in divorce. Her mission is to empower women to take charge of their cyber safety, thrive through technology, and have peace of mind online. And let's face it, everything we do now is online. She has a lot of acronyms after her name, including MBA, GIAC, GSLC, CIPM. And again, she's the founder of Ways to Protect. So I do not know what those acronyms are, because I am I need cyber security, cyber for dummies 101. So Sandra's experience is all things cyber, and mine is all things divorce. But I thought that this would be an essential conversation to have, not only because not only do I am obsessed, that's my word of the day, with empowering women, so is she. And as a woman trailblazing, paradigm-breaking corporate woman, she brings a wealth of knowledge to this conversation that is not my wheelhouse. When my clients come to me, or people that come to me and say, hey, I think somebody broke into my computer. Hey, my email's been hacked. Oh, hey, and all these weird things starts happening, maybe on your phone or your laptop or your iPad or your desktop or your work computer, it starts to make you think you're crazy, but you're not. And have no fear, Sandra is here. So welcome to the podcast, and a big virtual hug. I'm so glad we're reconnecting.
I am so delighted to be here, Paulette. So good to see you. It's like 10 years have passed, but you are exactly the same beautiful skin, same beautiful face, and beautiful smile. And I'm just so grateful that we get to enjoy with your audience, enjoy, you know, this time and share, you know, our experiences. You know, I'm a firm believer that everything that happened, you know, for us to share that, so others don't go through what we went through. And it's part of that giving spirit that I think we all have. And we all have stories. We all have a life that somebody else can benefit from. And I think that's why, you know, I resonate so much with what you do on your side, because you walk steps that were so hard in your space, and you were able to turn everything around and make that experience something that can help you serve. And I just applaud you for what you do with your Better Divorce Academy. It's just incredible. And you know, having someone to guide others while they go into that painful time, it's so important. And I'm super grateful to be here. And in the same way, so when someone navigates a cyber experience, if they don't have anyone to go through with that, it's very painful. So yes. I can totally relate.
Thank you for that. And I'm humbled. I'm blushing. I think I'm three shades of pink now, but thank you. I did not mean to do this work. I didn't find it. It found me. And mm-hmm. I agree with you. What's that little saying? Everything happens for a reason. Yes, but it's everything happens so you can help others. You yeah. can share. It isn't just a reason, but there's the make a purpose out of it. Create
absolutely
of a gift where you're not giving to self, because I already had to heal. The mm-hmm. resiliency, the courage that you need to get through anything. But if you have that ability to have a voice, which I do, I'm indebted to make sure that I can help others. But one of the things I see that you also do parallel to what I do is that we both are dedicated to wellness. And mm-hmm. what does that look like? It's different for everyone, mm-hmm. right? But you not just see the work you do as a computer and that, mm-hmm. you know, right brain and the spreadsheet and the numbers and the data and the whole, you know, very business corporate mind, but there you're a whole being. And mm-hmm. divorce can very similarly be parallel to that. It's the judicial, yeah. legal, financial, residential, lending, insurance,
absolutely.
Taxes. It's just numbers, right? But no, it's not. You're dealing with the whole body, the oh. heart, the soul, the mind, the organs, the breath, the, you know, we won't get into our microbiotic training, but we're energy, yin and yang, expansion and contraction and acid and alkaline and all the other things that Sandra and I have studied for years about the human body. But it is imperative that you understand that well-being and wellness is the opposite of illness. And yeah. understanding that if you are not well mentally, spiritually, and physically, as well as your emotional, psychological systems all working in congruency together, it is going to be really hard for you to make good decisions. Understand how to move forward and to protect yourself, right? This is a lot of the work she does and I do too. So understand that we are on board. It's a journey. So share with everyone a little bit about yourself and how you started your own journey. It's fascinating. I want to hear it.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. And I echo everything that you just said. So thank you for that perspective. Now, how did I start into this work? Like you, I did not choose to be in cybersecurity. It was not something that I even think about a profession. I was in technology, but it's a very different to be in the technology side than to be in the cybersecurity space. Mm. And I am originally from Venezuela, and I moved to the United States in 2005. So the job that I was working at the time relocated my family and I from Venezuela. So we moved to the Midwest. That, you know, just to put it into perspective for you, Paulette, and for the audience. So Venezuela is 80 degrees all year round weather, like similar to Belize where you live. In the Caribbean, right? And then you move to the Midwest, you move to Wisconsin. And I was like, what? So anyway,
freezing.
Freezing. So I survived my first winter. And after that first winter, I went to visit my mom back in South America. So I went home, I'm enjoying the time with my mom. I went for a week and I'm returning back to my husband who's in Milwaukee. And I remember, Paulette, I'm landing in Miami. We were landing when the captain announces that Homeland Security was boarding the plane. I didn't think of anything. I'm like, my company did all my papers. Like I had nothing crossed my mind. But I never will forget when I handed my passport to the two Homeland Security officers. They opened my passport, they saw my name, and they said, "You come with us." And I was like, that moment where, you know, your chest, everything just stops. And I got up, I took my, you know, got my luggage and I walked my carry-on. I walked down the plane with both officers escorting me out. And I get to that room. You know, that immigration room or that room where it's packed, but nobody's talking. It's like a cold silence. It feels really intense. And, you know, all I can think in that moment is, where is my luggage? Like, I had a lot of luggage I'm bringing from South America home. But most importantly, like, am I going to be deported? What's going on? Because there are no answers. And I was kidnapped in Venezuela, and I never wanted to go back. So just the thought that I could be forced to leave my, you know, this country, which I feel it was my country. I love my American life. I was happy with my job, like my dreams, you know, living in the United States all came true. And in that moment, it's like, I'm faced with the possibility of losing everything. So 10 hours later, they call my name and they hand me my passport with a big red stamp that is revoked. And I'm like, what? So I, you know, my husband and I will, you know, have to leave the country right away. Unfortunately, you know, fortunately we have the company and we were able to have the attorneys and, you know, you know, the legal and, you know, not different than any divorce, you know, immigration and all the laws and different things that you have to do. So
it's a formal process.
It's a formal process. So we went back to our country. We went to the embassy, the U.S. embassy, to get another interview and to start again the process to be back legally with a working visa. Now, I went to the interview, I got inside the embassy, and I was taken to a different location in the embassy. And I, this person, the security officer of the embassy, comes and start asking me questions. You know, why were you in China? Who do you know in China? Who is your contact? And Paulette, I'm like, I have never been to China. Like, I don't know anyone in China. I'm like, and I'm so scared and I'm so brave at the same time. And I think I don't know if it was my face, my expression, but I convinced him I'm not, you know, a criminal. I'm not a smuggler. I'm not, you know, I want to know what's going on. And I somehow asked him, beg him to tell me why he was asking me all these questions. Why was I taking off the plane? And he confessed, he you know, not confessed, but he shared with me that a criminal in China stole my identity to smuggle women into the United States.
And shocking.
I did not understand that the meaning of it. And I thought, what? But what happened is that identity theft situation almost broke my marriage, my career, and it took a severe toll on my mental health and well-being. And it lasted 6 long years. So I had to prove that I was the real me over and over. So, and again, I was not in cybersecurity, so I had no idea. I didn't understand what was going on. Right. And so, yeah, so that I finally became a US citizen, changed my name and enter the world of cybersecurity. And I realized, you know, how this happened to anyone. It can happen to anyone. Every 2 seconds, there is a new victim of identity theft. Mm-hmm. You know, every 11 seconds, a cyber attack happens. And it's so often that we think, though, we're not, you know, we don't have money or we're not famous or we don't have a multi-million dollar company. But the reality is that regular people like you and me can be a victim, whether it's a cyber crime or identity theft or many other things that happen. And I made it, I work in the corporate environment for many years, and then I made it my mission. And like you said, you know, you did not decide to do your, you know, the work that you do with your divorce, but something called you to share that and to create, you know, what you have created. And in that same manner, something inside of me drove me to share my story, to create all the different things that I have created, whether it's writing the books for children, or doing a TEDx talk, and, you know, doing multiple things that allow me to share this story. Not because it's my story, but because everyone reflects on that story.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice how she just glazed right over the TED Talk, everyone? But we'll get to that. She also has a series of children's books, or six of them, I believe, a series of six books for children. So if you have a child, and you know, her book can be, you know, Happily Ever Cyber, how to protect yourself against hackers, scammers, and cyber monsters. That's probably not a book for a six-year-old, but she does have a six-year-old, you know, introduction to it. So I get it. I understand why you're so passionate about this. If my identity was stolen and I had to go through an embroiled six-year battle to get my reputation and good name back, and the purpose of why it was stolen as to, that's just a horrific idea. It wasn't just stolen so they could buy a refrigerator at, you know, Amazon. It was not that that's a good thing either, but you know, that's just an inconvenience versus like that. That's a horrible reason as to why that would be so shocking. And I can only imagine being in that interrogation lobby room area for, did you say 11 hours? We're now watching the series Homeland, which is, I've been around a while, I know, but, and it's terrifying. So the approach, the passion, if you don't understand it, you probably need to listen to her story again. So tell me a little bit about these cyber monsters that you call them. What are they? And teach us the different monsters and the people to look out for. And you might want to grab a pen, everyone, because this is an important concept.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. Thank you. Cyber monsters, they have different motives. And, you know, the way that I really go in depth, obviously, in the book, but the key for all of us to understand is when you know who can be after you, then you know how to protect yourself. So the first type of cyber monster are it's the cyber criminal monsters. And what they do is like a business, Paulette. Like they do have a financial motive. And these are organized crime, you know, organized organizations or organized groups of people. If you think about like how crime used to happen before, like somebody will go and rob a bank, there were mafia, there were gangsters, there were all these type of criminals.
Right.
Today, they are the same, but they are behind a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And they hire other people to, you know, instead of going to a bank and rob the bank, they go and hack others. And they, you know, so in essence, cyber criminal, which is Psychrimo, I call this monster, is after one thing, and it's you and me, you know, our money, you know, your money, my money, our money.
Right. Financial gain.
So the second type of cyber monster is a combination. It's called hacktivism, and is hacker with an activist mindset. And what they do, they go after social and political agendas, and they are more into what they believe. And if something is against that belief, then they go and hack that. They might use the same tools, but it's not financial gain per se. They are actually motivated to destroy somebody, a company, or a reputation of someone because of that. And we have seen that like last year in some of the things that happened, and they might go and, you know, if they are against the police doing this or against that, they might hack into those, and just because of what's going on. And if they are in one side or the other side, they might, you know, take that action with their technology.
Now with a lot of in the US, with the, well, in all countries, why I pick
in
on
the countries.
US, but right, where one side is on a mission to find their counter or ulterior motive and destroy them or take them down or create negative press about them or negative, shall we say, word of mouth, because that's how things spread. But okay, I'm with you. I'm taking notes too.
Yeah. So then the third type, and I think this one, it's so relevant to your audience, because we usually don't think about And, you know, if you are someone that is going through a divorce or you're going through a family conflict, and it could be that you have a business and you don't have a conflict, but this is the type of cyber monster where it's an insider. It's someone that knows you. It could be, you know, a spouse, a vengeful spouse. It could be a friend that is not a friend anymore. It could be a bitter employee, a contractor, a partner. I mean, it could be any of those. Or it could be someone that didn't know and by accident exposed you. It's not always, you know, they want to do it, but they might expose you. You might have an assistant that, you know, disclose information about you. And now somebody hacks you easily because of that person not knowing it was sharing too much. You know, I've seen cases with divorces where one spouse, I have this woman that she was going through, you know, through a divorce, and his spouse accused her of being a terrorist. And she was a chemist. She was working in a company, and all of a sudden the FBI shows up in her office because his spouse, you know, complained. And of course they have to check out everything, but, you know, but still you're, it's just so uncomfortable that, you know, the FBI shows up at your work and your question. And it's like, you have to prove, of course, that that's not you. Like in my case, and yes, you know, things like that can happen, or it can be that somebody erases all your computer. If you're going through a divorce and that other person knows all your passwords, he knows, you know, how you connect to all your accounts, your banking, it has access to the location in your phone, so it can follow you. I mean, there are so many things in that type of cyber monster that we can just, I think we can do 10 podcasts with just that one.
Right. So those are the three main types. Are there other types as well?
There is the fourth one, which is the last one. And the fourth one is nations. Nations are cyber monsters, and nations can attack another nation, or it can attack, you know, an individual. And what we've seen with this type of cyber monster is that they are shifting because, you know, it's so much easier to attack an individual or a small business because it doesn't have all this, you know, the cybersecurity practices in place or all the knowledge. And that, you know, if you know someone that knows someone, like, you know, that thing, if you have a friend that might be the target of a nation state, they might hack you so they can get to that person or get to someone that is close to that person. So, so it can happen very, very easily. And, you know, we see it every day. So nations are attacking companies, are attacking individuals, are attacking governments. So it's just like a battlefield that we don't see it, but it's there.
Well, now that we know that there are four types, and not to be overly pessimistic, but realistic, just as I do not see the divorce journey going away, dissipating, evaporating, lessening, you know, as the years go by, yes, there's some, you know, ebb and flow a little bit with it, just like with anything, but it's certainly not going away. Now, just because there are experts out there to help and guide and support and educate people about how to make divorce faster, less expensive, and less, oh my goodness, impactful, traumatic, dramatic, whatever word you want to add there. In your world, just because there are experts like yourself out there to educate and the like, it doesn't seem to be going away or lessening. In fact, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it appears to be increasing. Is there something, am I correct? And is there something that people should do to protect themselves from this?
Yeah, I mean, there are many things we can do because there, I want to talk about two facts. Yes, it's an increasing, it's the most illegal, the biggest illegal business that exists. Let's put it that way. So it surpassed, cybercrime surpassed all the drug cartels around the world. So if you think about that, There is so much profit. So as long as it's a profitable illegal business, it will continue to happen. So it's fraud, it's scams, it's, you know, all the different things that happen every day.
Right.
Now, the second thing that is a fact is that, like in any situation, people like things that are easy. Like if there is something that requires a lot of effort, I mean, you have some, like, you know, the low hanging fruit analogy fits perfectly. Like you wanted to maximize your attack. So you want to get as many people to click that link, which is a phishing, or you want as much people to you know, to do something that will open the door for those cyber monsters. Mm-hmm. So what I teach is about how you don't become that easy prey. And that's where it changes, because yes, cybercrime won't change, but the more we can be empowered, the more that we realize when you get that email, you have a choice. Nobody can force you to click on that link. Nobody. It's a choice, and you get to do that choice. You get to make that choice. When you get a phone call and you don't know the number, you can choose. You can look at the number and choose whether you answer or not. Mm. And that is an empowering feeling, because now you know that you're in charge. When you start shifting that mindset, then you, what happens with all the people that I work with is that they realize, oh my God, this person sent me a text message and this is all fake. And they start seeing all the signs with all the different emails that are not real, because they develop, and I call it your inner cyber, like your inner, we all have it. You know, like Paulette, I can tell you, okay, it's 10 p.m. A guy is in a, you know, in a dark alley. Your body will sense that there is something not safe, and you know you're not gonna go probably nearby. Or if he calls your name, or he calls, hey, I'm gonna show you something. Come here to my trunk. You're not gonna go, because your body will sense danger. So in the same way, we can develop that. And we need to develop that skill set with our digital life, because everything is digital. And there is a lot of, you know, people with dark alleys and with
and
not good intentions, yes, waiting. And when we, and I, you know, this, a lot of people ask me, how did your identity got stolen? You know, what happened? And mm-hmm. You know, it took me time to retrace my step and to realize that I didn't know, you know, how to protect myself. I did not know anything about cybersecurity. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I didn't want to protect myself. It's I had no idea I had to do it, and that it was important for me to do it. And I was very distracted. You know, I was busy. I had a corporate career. I was doing my MBA, or I was doing this. I was always doing something that distracted me.
You were living your life.
I was. And I think the reason that I went into well-being practices, and you know, it's because I had this experience one time with my husband. My husband, I love him. He's the most amazing person in the planet, that he's a very observant person. And he said one time, hey, I bet that you cannot stay still for 1 minute. Because I was a very, very hyper person. Like like that kind of always thinking, always doing, always here, like never stay still kind of person. I didn't believe in meditation. I didn't believe in breathing. None of that was in my life. And I tried to stay still for 1 minute, and I lost that bad bullet.
I've lost you myself, my dear. I can relate. Yeah.
So, and when I lost it, I was like, oh my God, how is that I cannot be still? Like, how is that I cannot quiet my mind? Mm. Like, how is that I cannot move my body, or I just breathe? Like, who's there? Like, and you know, and start asking all these questions. And that combination with my you know, identity theft, and it's all that, you know, when I met you, I lost my health. And that's why I went to that place where we met. And it's like that journey that you go into your life, and we all have a story. And like I said before, we're here to share that story so others can benefit from it and can learn and not go through what we went through.
Perfect. Yeah, it's so true. I'm relating. And I am that person now that rarely leaves the house. Not that I'm paranoid, but I live in rural Georgia, not too far from the city, but on a lake in the middle of nowhere. And I work from home. And I use my tiny little car to go to the gym, go grocery shopping, but those are even delivered these days. So, but if I were to go down a dark alley at 10 o'clock at night and some gentleman or a woman for that matter, anyone said, hey, I've got something in the trunk to show you. That just terrifies me. Like, right. Like my radar is a lot more alert, but I can remember there probably would have been a time where my naive, don't tell me what to do. I'm perfectly safe. No harm can come to me. Naive mindset would have said, sure, show me. And it's a great analogy. It's a great visual. So of how, and is that age? I don't know. Is that personality? I don't know. It could be maturity, lessons learned. So for the person, you know, whether you're the type of person that would go down a dark alley and look in someone's trunk or not, what recommendations can you give to protect people's identity so they're more aware, besides not clicking the email? But are there other tools that you can give them?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we can talk about two things that are super simple. And number one is public services that we use, like public Wi-Fi. You know, how many times we go to an airport, or we go to
a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. And we're it's so tempting, like, oh my God, free Wi-Fi, free something, right? And you want to jump into that free. So I always ask this analogy, like, if you really need to brush your teeth, like you're so desperate, like you're walking in an airport or a mall or anywhere, and you find a toothbrush in front of you, right there, will you pick it up and put it in your mouth? Not for a million.
I would rather have the worst breath in the planet.
Exactly. Because you don't know who or where that toothbrush has been. It's exactly the same. You don't know who has been in that public Wi-Fi.
Right.
And just because it's public, anyone can access it. And when you start seeing that, you're like, oh, I don't have to be in that public Wi-Fi. You can have you can hotspot to your phone. You could use your plan.
You can trip out.
Yeah.
For a little while.
Exactly. And if you have to, there are safe ways you have to take in consideration so you don't become a victim. So that's number one. Super simple. Beautiful. Like, you know, public things are not, if you can access, anyone can access. If you go to a hotel and you see Wi-Fi and you see the name of the Wi-Fi or the, that means anyone can see it, and it's not that private.
You don't think about that now, do you?
No, you don't. Right. So then the second thing that I think is, so sometimes we see passwords. So inconvenient, right? Like we have to remember things. It's like we have to change it, and they are annoying, and I have to do this codes and this and that. But if you think about this way, your password is what separates your bank account from a cyber monster. Your password is what separates your savings, your 401k, your kids' tuition, your grocery money. Like if you see it that way, and the only thing that is protecting that money is that password. So then using a password that is 12345 isn't enough to protect my precious money or my precious information.
Right.
So what I use and what I incorporating my practices, my well-being practices, is I use a phrase, an affirmation, an inspirational phrase as my password. So instead of being, you know, using a meaningless phrase or word, that phrase gives me a moment to smile. So every time I type my password, I feel something. I feel connected. I feel, you know, whatever it is that that password evokes for me. And that, you know, start changing your perception. And that's all about once you change that perception, once cybersecurity becomes, and I call it more cyber safety, it's personal. Like when it's now me, and now I can use these tools so I can feel better, I can connect, I can be less distracted, I can be, you know, more grateful. Then I can see technology, I can see cybersecurity with a different lens.
Mm. Beautiful. I remember 20 years ago, maybe when all of this insanity started in 99, mm-hmm. 2000, you know, when I got my first gateway laptop, going 24 years ago, you didn't know it was like password. And you know, everybody, I don't know that everybody, but a lot of people use password, or like you said, 1, 2, 3, 4, something you thought you'd remember, right? And like, why would you need to use something more covert or, you know, secretive? Because it was, I don't think it was on our radar back then. It wasn't, there was no litmus test for understanding the depth and the breadth of how cyber attacks, cyber safety, cyber, breaking, you know, like you said, use the analogy of back in, you know, bank robbing, you know, now it's the same idea. If you imagined on your computer or whatever, your finances or your personal data, that there was somebody with a ski mask on and some sort of weapon, you'd be like, yeah, probably. It changes your whole thinking. And now when you're going through divorce, there's a domestic relations financial affidavit. Mm-hmm. There's documents that you have submit to the court, to your attorney, to your fiduciary, your tax, the IRS, your CPA, and your insurance. I could keep going. Everybody knows what we're all nodding. And it is required for you to give, not, you know, they don't want your social, though. You do need to give the last 4 digits of your bank account numbers and the name of the institution on your domestic relations financial affidavit. And you have to give a budget of what you income and expenses, inflow and outflow. And you're really giving a lot of data, your name, your date of birth, your address, the name or the date of birth of your children. And you're forced to do that if you're litigating, which is another reason to consider private mediation. As soon as you cross over that, I call it a Jersey barrier, right? There's no, you can't jump the barrier and say, oops, can I go back? It is very difficult. And the litigation process is public. You're in a courthouse with other people. They hear your name. I probably could surmise that there's one of those 4 types of cyber monsters out there listening in a courtroom, writing down the names of people, their address.
Yeah, everything. Public records. Public.
Mm-hmm. It's all public record. And they, if they wanted to steal a name and an address and a date of birth and that might not be a bad place. If I was a criminal, just joking, everyone, that might be a logical place for people to start. And it's scary, but you can do as much as you can consider private mediation, because all of that is just between you and your spouse and that one mediator. And you do not need to submit that information to the court other than what's required on that document. So,
definitely. And you know, just to add into that, the pain and all the headache and heartache, it's not different than taking charge of your cybersecurity before it happens. Like, you know, for you as a mediator, like you have there are certain things that you will recommend them to do,
mm-hmm.
right? There are basic things that they can do that they can make the process so much effective and easier. Mm. And in the same way in cybersecurity, those, you know, simple steps can make your life so much easier. And then you don't have to waste all the time that you have to dedicate to fix when you become a victim. Like if you go to court and you have to litigate, there's so many hours and so many paperwork and so many things that you have to invest. Yes. Not only time, money, resources, but your mental health, your stress. And in the same way in the cybersecurity space, when we don't take those actions,
right,
proactive actions, we have to remediate. And remediation or litigation, it just equals pain.
Mm-hmm. And it just makes me think a little bit about the mistake that people make in life and also in divorce when they think that social media is harmless fun. And in some ways, I see social media as a cyber digital communication tool where there could be some problems. I had an Instagram account taken away from me because of a hacking. Right. Someone got in there and posted inappropriate photographs. I'm going to leave it at that. And boom, as they should have taken away. I said, listen, it wasn't me. Do what you have to do to get rid of it. And it was because I suppose the password, I don't know, but it was about a year and a half ago. And it was shocking, upsetting, nothing I could do about it. I wasn't going to go to court and fight it. You know, it is what it is. And, but anything on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Twitter, like we could go down that. And I'm not going to get into TikTok and what's the other one? Snapchat. There's so many out there. Yeah. And Google itself too is a world of public forum. So be so careful. Please get her book, Happily Ever Cyber. Watch her TED Talk, Sandra Estock. I am so glad you're here. Thank you for your time. How do people find you? How do they get your book? Please, what's the best way for people to learn more about all that you do?
Absolutely. You know, definitely. Thank you for the opportunity to share the message. And you can reach me at my website, sandraestock.com. So that's very easy. So you can go in there, you can go to my books, you can order them directly in Amazon, or my page will take you to that, you know, to Amazon. So you can order them there. And I will say, follow us in social media at Way to Protect is our handle. And I know you probably will include all of this in the notes of the show, so you don't have to be writing it down. And you know, the more you take charge, and the more you start incorporating easy practices, you know, whether it's for you, for your kids, for your, you know, for your household, you know, the less chances are that you become that easy prey.
Mm-hmm. Don't be that person that goes down the dark alley at 10 o'clock at night or later or earlier. Is naive, right? Open your eyes, be cautious, intelligent. It's key to your success. Be that person that is careful and protective, right? Right.
Yeah. I call it the be I am. Be intentional, be aware, and then be mindful.
Yep. Thank you, everyone. I'm nodding if you're listening to the audio and if you're watching the video. Thank you so much, my dear. It's such an honor to have you here after a decade of you and I running into one another our journey, our path of self-discovery, self-evolution, self-wellness, and creating a career for both of us that is deeply having an impact on the lives of others. So thank you for your time, everyone. I hope this has been an insightful conversation. So be really careful with your passwords. Consider them an opportunity and not a pain in the tail. And until next time, I'll see you on the next podcast. Reach out to me, Paulette@betterdivorceacademy.com. I'll see you on the next episode, everyone. Talk soon. Keep thriving in the chaos. Thanks for joining me today. If you were inspired by today's episode, please share it with a friend or a loved one. My hope is you feel empowered to take some action, no matter how big or small. Action that allows you to step out of the chaos and thrive on your own terms. If this podcast added any value to your day, please review it on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, keep thriving in the chaos.